You're listening to The Philip Jordan Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of The Philip Jordan Show. I'm your host, Philip Jordan, in-studio host and producer for Dustin Wolves Football, a 96.9 The Legend and Auburn writer for Last Word on college football. Got a fun show planned for you guys today. I'll be joined by Tony Sakalis. He is the managing editor over at TideIllustrated.com, part of Rivals.com. We will break down Alabama basketball. They get the four seed. They're playing Friday in the NCAA tournament. Was the four seed the right spot for Alabama? And how far can this team go in the NCAA tournament? We'll also jump into Alabama spring practice, talk about that. What are the big storylines with this Alabama team? And how does Jalen Milroe fit into Kalen DeBoer's offense? What do the running backs look like? And also, we will jump into the defense. A lot of subtractions in the secondary for Alabama. How is that looking as we are in spring practice for the Crimson Tide right now as they gear up for their 8A game on April 13th? You can check out the Philip Jordan Show podcast over at WiregrassDailyNews.com or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please follow, rate, and review. Leave a review, and I will read it on a future edition of the show. And if you leave just 4 stars, you are just a straight-up hater. You can email me at sports.philipjordan@gmail.com. All right, this week on the show, we are talking all things Alabama, not just football, basketball as well. And joining me, good friend of the show, Tony Sakalis. You can check him out over at TideIllustrated.com, where he is the managing editor, part of Rivals over there. And Tony, appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, anytime, man.
A busy time. I think it's, you know, I had somebody on from LSU last week. I think it's everybody right now that covers teams, like, especially if you got a team in the tournament, which with Alabama, you got men and women. Then you got spring football going on, baseball, softball. So it's probably one of the busiest times of the year if you're covering one of the universities.
I mean, we stick to football and basketball, but I will say also at Alabama, they've got one of the best gymnastics teams. So if you're like trying to cover it all, that's just add that in there as well. So it's a busy time. A lot of people don't realize the spring is when all the games are, you know, that's when all the, you know, when you have multi games. I mean, most people in the fall, you're really just worried about football, right? And now football is its own beast, but it's not as many sports. And so the spring definitely keeps you on your toes in terms of, especially if you're a fan and you're trying to get to all these games. I can't imagine.
Yeah, just keeping up with all that. I guess football is mainly like during the week. It's just going to press conferences, going to practice, talking to players during the week. But you only got the game there at the end of the week on Saturday. But when you sprinkle in, like I said, these other people that do baseball, softball, and fans, and then basketball, it's just if you're trying to keep up with all of them, it's a task.
Yeah, it could become like a daily thing. I'm sure. I mean, in the spring, you could probably find a way to go to a game every single day. So.
It's like I always think about it, man. It's a job. I mean, all of it dedication, all of it's because we love it. We love sports. But like these guys, these beat writers for Major League Baseball teams, that it's an everyday grind for them too as well. I always think about those guys.
I can't even imagine. And can you imagine on the baseball? Like just like if you wanted to go like MLB, right? I mean, like imagine you have a family and you're on the West Coast for a West Coast swing for, you know, 10 games or so. You know, it's like you're away from your family for 2 weeks and it's just constant travel. But it'd be tough. And that's a cool thing about football, I guess, is that even on the road games, you know, you're only away from home for a couple of days and then you're back. You know, it's not like you have to, if you're playing on the road in Tennessee, you're not up in Knoxville the whole week. You're just coming up for the weekend. So that's the cool thing about football. It can be a bear for some of those, especially when you get to professional sports. Sure.
Unless you're covering Notre Dame, and every other year you got to go to Ireland to cover a game.
Yeah, so. there's that too. I mean, I wouldn't turn down a trip to Ireland, though. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. So we're actually going to start with Alabama basketball for a few minutes. Everybody knows generally a football podcast, but Alabama, Auburn, all of, you know, they're good in basketball. So in the tournaments here, it's March Madness week. Just four seed. Do you think that was the right spot for Alabama?
Yeah. I mean, I think some, you know, some of the naysayers, if you will, using a football term maybe, or some of the negative Alabama fans were, you know, that I saw, I was like, oh, I'm surprised they're not a fifth or a sixth seed. It's like, well, let's not forget that, you know, like a month ago, we were talking about this team possibly winning the SEC. I think four is about right, about what they should be considering the body of work this season. They're not as bad as what they've been playing like, but I don't think they're as good as, you know, what people thought they might be in a two seed or something like that. So I think that it's a well-deserved four seed. You got to also look at the schedule that Alabama played. They didn't win all their, they didn't win a lot of their quad one games, but they challenged themselves, and their record could have certainly been better if they played an easier schedule. So yeah, I think that's about fair. And this is the first time, Philip, that they've gotten back-to-back seasons with a four seed or better, which is kind of crazy in program history to have that. So that says a lot about Nate Oates. And, you know, we're recording this on a Monday where Nate Oates just had his new deal finalized. So definitely, you know, a hat tip to him for, you know, just the job he's done at Alabama since he's been here.
Yeah, I know. I saw the story broke on Friday, and then it was before the Florida game, and then we saw how that one turned out. But, hey, that game probably didn't hurt Alabama, because apparently the committee does not watch or care about the conference championships unless you're a surprise team that gets in. But, you know,
speaking from an Auburn perspective.
Look, I'm in the state. I got to cover both of them, so I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. I can see where you're wearing Auburn, you know, fan would be upset, especially with, you know, Kentucky getting a three seed, and you know, Auburn won the tournament, gets seeded below Kentucky. I could see where they'd be upset about it. But I think, yeah, I mean, like, I guess you could say for Auburn after winning the SEC tournament that they should be a three, but I don't really think that they're, I think four is about where they belong as well. A four seed's not a bad seed, you know, I mean, that's pretty good.
I think the part I think that probably bothered a lot of Auburn fans was, and I know Kentucky beat Auburn, but the fact is Kentucky got beat their first game, and then Auburn runs through the tournament, and then they were tied for second place in the conference, and then Auburn runs through and wins it. But I think it's been that way for a while. I don't think the committee much cares about the conference championships for like the power conferences, unless like you would have had like a Georgia or an Ole Miss or somebody or an Arkansas like that run through and. Obviously, they get into the tournament. Outside of that, I don't think they don't really make
it. Yeah, well, I mean, and partially for good reason. Look, I don't want to take away what Auburn did. Auburn, winning the SEC tournament's hard, you know? But, like, let's also look at it. Like, part of the reason why Auburn didn't get a lot of credit for winning the SEC tournament is, like, everybody, like, all the high seeds in the SEC tournament lost their first game. You know? I mean, like, they played South Carolina, and then it got progressively easier. You know, it's like – you know, kudos to Auburn for like not choking like the rest of the SEC did, but they also won their title without playing. I think it would have been a different story if Auburn won the SEC title and would have, you know, beaten some of the bigger teams. If they win the SEC title and beat Tennessee, you know, I think it's a different story. I think then they probably do get moved up. It almost hurt Auburn that all those upsets happened because they didn't get the chance to beat them.
Yeah, they probably need at least Tennessee or Kentucky to not fumble over themselves in the first game, and it would have beaten
them. SEC title is an SEC title, though. I mean, they should be happy about that. Like, you know, it really isn't that much difference between a three and a four seed. I guess you avoid the number one seed. But
that's it. Yeah, that's it. You look at this team. They play Charleston on Friday. This is a Charleston team that's won 12 straight. They won their conference. I was just looking at some stuff. They're a decent three-point shooting team, 35%. They give a lot of points. Just, well, Alabama, you expect Alabama to win this game. I think, look, this is a tournament. You never know. It's just one of the things why we love it so much, because it's just the unpredictability of the NCAA tournament. What kind of run do you think this Alabama team could go on?
Well, starting with Charleston, it's kind of an interesting one because they're very similar to Alabama. And, you can view that as a good thing because, if Alabama's trying to get ready for a Charleston offense that moves pretty fast, that likes to shoot a lot of threes, that can score, all they have to do is look at themselves because they see that every day in practice. on the flip side, Alabama can't stop anybody on defense right now. And do you really want to play a team with a hot offense that can shoot, that can maybe get you in trouble? Charleston might go on a run, and then, you know, does Alabama have the defensive intensity to stop that? You know, probably, but, you know, right now it doesn't seem very optimistic. So there's two ways to look at it, though. I do think they beat Charleston. Then you got probably St. Mary's, and that could be a tough one. You look at, you know, Nate Oates brought it up too. It's like, not only is St. Mary's a good team, you're over there in the West Coast, you know, Alabama's playing in Spokane. It's not going to matter against Charleston because they're both going cross country. If any, you know, Charleston has an even, that might be the farthest away place that Charleston could have been sent. It won't matter against Charleston, but maybe against the St. Mary's, they'll have to play in front of more St. Mary's fans. You know, Alabama's kind of done that with Purdue and Toronto, and then they also had Arizona at Phoenix. So, I mean, Alabama's kind of used to playing neutral site games that where there aren't neutral sites, but that will be a tough one. And if they win that, I have to look at the rest of the bracket. I really need to study up, but I haven't really looked past that to see how the bracket will work. But I think it starts with that, you know, getting out of that first weekend. It's going to be tough. I think they really just got to take it one game at a time, because if you overlook Charleston, that's a team that's won 12 straight games. They can really score. They can really shoot. They've got a young up and coming coach. And that's a team that could upset Alabama if they're not careful.
Yeah. I got Alabama's part of the bracket in front of me. So the other part of that bracket, teams they would play the second weekend, North Carolina playing the CCC. We don't know who they're playing yet because of the first four. And then North Carolina would play I'll just assume North Carolina wins that. Then play either Mississippi State or Michigan State. So you're probably looking at, if you get through weekend one, you're probably looking at North Carolina.
UNC. Yeah, it's probably UNC. That's tough, you know. But, I mean, I feel like Alabama can play with those teams. I don't think Alabama can't play with UNC. Nate Oates said it was a new season. It's kind of a good way to think of it. Like, if Alabama can, like, right the ship this weekend, going into next weekend with a little bit of momentum, if I'm a UNC, I don't want to play them, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that it could get interesting. It's just a matter of, you know, which Alabama will we get? The Alabama that, you know, had a chance of winning the SEC tournament, or sorry, regular season title, or the Alabama that's lost, you know, what, four or five games now? It's just kind of tough.
Talking about football, as we mentioned on top, spring practice is going on leading up to the 8A game on the 13th of April. Just for you going into this, what were some of the big storylines for Alabama with spring practice?
Yeah, I think, you know, it starts with the secondary and the offensive line. You know, Alabama doesn't really have, I think you have, you know, you could pretty much slot Elijah Pritchard at that left tackle role now. But as far as the other tackle goes, I mean, right now it's Wilkin Formby, a redshirt freshman. If it wasn't him, it'd be Miles McVay, who's a redshirt freshman. Neither of those guys have many snaps. And to be honest, you know, you got, on the other side, you've got Elijah Pritchett, who, you know, couldn't beat out a struggling Caden Proctor. So, like, it's kind of weird. You look at that offensive line, you've got Jaden Roberts and Tyler Booker, and now probably Parker Brailsford or James Brockmeyer. I don't want to write him off. But, like, you've got the interior of that offensive line that could be really strong, one of the best in the nation. And then you look at the tackle positions, and you're like, man, like, those are two huge question marks. And obviously the tackle positions are extremely important. So that's an area of, like, really what is Alabama going to get out of those tackle positions? I think after spring camp, you'd expect them to grab someone from the portal, but you've still got to know what you have in terms of that position. And that's going to determine a lot of Alabama's success. So obviously one of the things I'll be continuously monitoring is that. And then if you look at the secondary, you know, the only starting cornerback they have, or sorry, the only experienced cornerback they have is Damani Jackson, who started 11 games for USC last year. Outside of him, they don't have a single cornerback that's played a college snap. Jaleel Hurley comes back after a redshirt freshman year, but he didn't play a lick last fall. And they've got some really, exciting young freshmen that are coming in. Jalen Mbokwe, Zay Mincy, Xavier Brown. But we'll have to see what those guys are going to do. And you don't necessarily want to throw a freshman cornerback as a starter, especially not with, you know, the offenses of today where they're airing it out. kind of like to break those guys in a little bit. So you look to the portal again. Can Alabama get a cornerback that maybe, you know, can help them out a little bit? I think they'll be more experienced. Like, I think you'll have a better shot of getting like a superstar cornerback if one of those hits the portal than you would necessarily getting a superstar tackle. So if you look at what Alabama is going to get from the portal, like, I think you just need like a serviceable veteran on the line, and then maybe you just kind of hope that maybe you can get that star cornerback if he's out there. You know, I don't know what the market's necessarily going to look like, but you know, there's been rumors around, like, I'm just throwing this into space. This is not, you know, Carmani McClain, somebody like that, like a five-star kid, you know, somebody mm-hmm. like that was to go. I think Alabama should definitely throw their name, their hat in the ring for a guy like that. And, but there'll be other guys, you know, that are big time talents. I think Alabama should throw their hat in. But same situation as a tackle, right? You got to see what you have, and both of those positions are going to be big. And then maybe the third position I'd look at is quarterback. I think it's so weird. When I'm trying to predict how good Alabama is going to be, it's almost impossible without knowing how good Jalen Milroe is going to be. Because, you know, we've seen Jalen Milroe's struggles, and there's obviously question about, like, what if it doesn't work in Kalen DeBoer's offense? Everyone's asking that. But, like, what if it does work? I mean, you have a chance to have this really deadly player. I mean, if Jalen Milroe can tweak his passing a bit and you know, kind of find more of his – quote-unquote mid-range game, and he hit those intermediate passes, and if, you know, Kalen DeBoer can kind of unlock that in him, we're talking about, you know, just a nightmare guy with DeBoer's offense and how he can spread the ball around, and, you know, the threat that Jalen would have on draw plays. I mean, you really couldn't defend this offense if he was able to do that. That's just a huge if, though. I mean, like, you look at the way Jalen Milroe played, he didn't really do a lot to show you that he's going to fit in this offense. But then we've heard great reviews of him this spring so far. So look to see how he's doing. And if he struggles, then I think it could get really interesting, because I think you look at some of the guys behind him. Ty Simpson decided to stick around. He's got a great arm. He's a guy that's progressed behind the scenes. He didn't get to play a lot last year, obviously, because Milroe was the guy. But I think Ty Simpson's probably taken a step in the right direction. They got Dylan Lonergan, who looked really good in the spring game. But then the guy I'm really high on, if Jalen wasn't, you know, if it does become a quarterback battle, the guy I'd say to keep the biggest eye on is Austin Mack, who transferred from Washington. He's a guy that obviously knows Kalen DeBoer's offense already, and he can sling it, and he's 6'6". You know, you see him on the practice. We've only got to see one practice, but you see him on the practice field. He just stands out because he's like a giant over there, and he's slinging the ball. So the quarterback position, it's a question mark, but – not as big of a one, because you know, whoever Alabama has behind center, they've got plenty of talent. It's just a matter of, will they find the right quarterback? Will Jalen be the right quarterback? I think their best shot is that, like, their best shot at winning is for Jalen Milroe to progress and be that guy. Obviously that's the most preferred option for Alabama, but it'll be interesting to see if that happens. And I think that's going to, those three areas, tackle, defensive back, and quarterback, that's your Alabama season right there. How those three areas progress this spring, this summer, that, you know, if you get a production out of both of all those three spots, Alabama's right there in for the title. They have a shot at it. Like, the rest of the roster is really good. But those are just three really important positions that Alabama has, you know, big to sizably big, question marks at. So just be kind of interesting to see how things progress there.
Yeah, it will be. I kind of, when I asked that question, I felt like corner would be one, just in the secondary overall, just for how much they lost, especially the Caleb Downs transfer to Ohio State. And then offensive line, maybe. I didn't expect quarterback. It just kind of felt like, you kind of answer one of my questions. Just, I think that is the question. How does he fit in the board's offense? And you're right. If he becomes a better passer, I don't think you need to expect him to be like Michael Penix.
No, they're totally different quarterbacks. Yeah. He won't be Michael Penix, because that's just not in his game. You know, Michael Penix can't run the ball like Jalen Milroe can.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's a part of it. You know, it also kind of interesting, you know, with Washington, you just think of Washington as a passing offense. I mean, 2,000-yard receivers and the talents there. Of course, with Ryan Williams, and, you know, maybe I had a Wiregrass, I'm kind of interested to see how Emmanuel Henderson develops as a receiver, but the running backs there too. And, you know, Alabama, you know, McKellen and Williams, they're gone. Now, the two guys are most veteran, Justice Haynes and Jack Miller. I know last year around this time, we were all excited what we saw out of Haynes out of the spring. So be interested how you see him using the running backs.
I think it's going to be those two as the main guys. I think you're going to see a little bit more from Richard Young too. I mean, I think a lot of people forgot about Richard Young, but he's another either high four or five star guy, depending on how you look at him, which service you use. So he's going to be good. And, you know, your Daniel Hill, Kevin Riley, I think they're more, I mean, maybe they would step in if somebody got hurt, you know, into the rotation, but I think they're more for the future. I'm expecting it to be kind of a split between Justice and Jam with a little bit of Richard Young. People forget about, like, it's all about pass blocking too, right? So if Justice Haynes is the better, like, runner right now and Jam Miller's the better pass blocker, then Jam Miller is going to be the starter. You know, now I'm not saying that one of those is definitely better than the other. And it kind of seems like they're both a little bit pretty even at what they can do. The good thing about those two backs is, you know, we've seen both of them catch out of the backfield. We've seen both of them show the ability to make plays in open space. So it's not necessarily like a thunder lightning. I think it might just be a hot hand kind of thing, you know, or just to keep people fresh. But I think the good thing about, you know, Alabama's options, and I think you could probably put Richard Young there. We haven't really seen him, but I think you could probably put him in there, is like they can all do everything. So, you know, you can use them interchangeably. And I think that that's pretty important.
Yeah, and if you got one that's a really good pass blocker and the other's not, where are you going to play the one that's a really good pass blocker most of the time? Because if you rotate them out, you know what they're about to do. I mean, and that's, you know, then you might slow down your offense too. On defense, you talked about the defensive backs, and I had wrote stuff down here, but a linebacker, I mean, obviously you think about Dallas Turner, Chris Braswell, those guys, you lose those kind of players. But, you know, in the past, what they say, you used to losing those guys and other players standing up. I know Deontay Lawson is one. Where do you see Alabama going with linebacker?
So, like, the inside linebacker, I think, you know, that's probably one of their strengths, right? Because you got Deontay Lawson and Jihad Campbell. Mm-hmm. Now, the depth after that, you know, with a Justin Jefferson, I think, you know, is he big enough or can he be a guy? Like your depth pieces at inside linebacker, Jeremiah Alexander is a guy that you might be able to use as a depth piece at inside linebacker, but he played outside linebacker last year, so he's still transitioning. You got a JUCO guy in Jefferson that, like, you know, is he? Do you really want him having to start if that was the case? But another thing that just when you look at linebackers as a whole, it's one of the differences in this team is the way it's built compared to the way that, you know, Kane Womack runs his defense, right? They're going to that strict, that 4-2-5 swarm D, where, you know, I think the biggest difference comes at that outside linebacker edge position, where Alabama before, you know, you had your Sam and Jack linebackers, and those were kind of similar body types, right? Not always the exact same role, but similar body types. And now you're going to have the Wolf linebacker that's going to be built a little bit more like what the Jack or Sam linebacker was, but then you're going to have the Bandit. And that's more of a defensive lineman at that point. That guy is probably like 265, 270. So Alabama has a lot of wolves, or wolf position. They got a big wolf pack. I joked about that with Kane Womack earlier this month. Maybe they have some bandits too, but like it's almost like where are you going to put all these? If you have enough wolf players or enough edge stand-up kind of edge guys to play two different positions, how are you going to condense that to where Womack's defense is really going to have one guy? So I think in terms of depth at inside, like, could some of these stand-up edge guys lose some weight and maybe provide depth inside, or especially if they had to in an emergency situation? I think that might be an avenue that Alabama goes to. It'll also just be interesting to see, like, what Alabama does to get some of these guys on the field. You know, I mean, Quandarius Robinson's probably your starting wolf, but then you've got Yonzi Pierre in there, and you know, Noah Carter, who they brought in, and then like they got Keon Keeley. He's gonna supposedly move, he's working with the Bandits, so he's probably gonna try to gain 20 pounds and get up to, like, you know, 260 instead of 240, you know. So that'll be interesting to see. I mean, they lose a lot of their pass rushers, but they had such a deep unit. It's just now younger guys stepping up. I mean, Keon Keeley and Yonzi Pierre, two five-star guys, Quay Russaw too, that didn't play at all last year, but they've got some talent. You know, I mean, they came in as really high recruits, so we're going to get to see a lot more of them now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's just a very interesting time. That first spring game, you know, after Nick Saban, married, the first one of for Kalen DeBoer, which I think is probably a big reason why it's going to be on ESPN on the 13th. But it's going to be interesting. A lot of people are going to be paying attention to what's going on in Alabama in their spring practice and in the 8A game. And Tony, it's been fun having you talk all things Alabama. I did not know Auburn basketball was going to work its way in.
Yeah, we spent a long time talking about it. We talked about Major League Baseball, talked about Auburn basketball. So even if you're not a fan of Alabama and you tuned in, I guess you got a little bit of everything.
Hey, it flew. Well, good. It's all about the conversation. But anyways, Tony, it's been fun having you on. Let the listeners and viewers know where they can find you and all the work you're doing.
Yeah, the site's TideIllustrated.com. You can go to Alabama.Rivals.com. You can follow us at Tide Illustrated, or you can follow me at Tony_Sukalis. And my looks like my name's up there. So if you don't know how to spell Sukalis, it's right there. So yeah, just give me a follow and give Tide Illustrated a follow as well.
All right, sounds good, Tony. Once again, appreciate your time and look forward to talking to you again sometime down the road.
Definitely. Thanks.
96.9, The Legend, is your connection to classic country legend. But Digio Strategies has other options too. News Talk 103.9 is your source for America's top news and entertainment shows, like Rick and Bubba in the morning, Glenn Beck from 9 till 11 a.m., and Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, middays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Sean Hannity, Lars Larson, Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, and others fill your day with the latest news and views from America's top conservative voices. America at Night and Coast to Coast AM keep you company and connected throughout the night. Plus, Fox News, the Alabama Radio Network, and Wiregrass Daily News keep you informed with national, international, state, and local news. And with more musical choices like All the Hits 106.7 KMX, Today's Country 95.5 WTVY, and Music 107.7, Digio Strategies gives you more choices and more variety. Listen on air, online, and on our apps. 96.9 The Legend is just the beginning.
All right. Once again, thanks to Tony Sukalis for coming on from Tide Illustrated. And that was recorded on Monday evening, recording this news segment on Tuesday. Of course, you saw with the podcast dropped on Wednesday and some news. And this is reported from Tony Sukalis from over at Tide Illustrated. It looks like 5-star offensive tackle Caden Proctor will be headed back to Alabama. He entered the transfer portal after the season and went to Iowa. There was that whole thing people saw on social media, online, all over the place, where he was talking to somebody. He pretty much admitted that Iowa had been talking to him all last season. So pretty much admitted to Iowa with some tampering. Iowa did admit some violations, but then he enters the transfer portal. Caden Proctor does on the 19th, and he is expected back at Alabama, according to Tony Sukalis of Tide Illustrated. He started all 14 games last year as a true freshman. So there you go. Alabama looks like they're getting the offensive lineman back. That was a whole interesting deal there with Caden Proctor. But we will keep you updated if anything changes on that. But it looks like he will be headed back to Alabama. And I'm sure there'll be a lot more details on that we could talk about on next week's podcast. On Saturday, now I know a lot of people were invested in the conference championship weekend in college basketball, everything going on with that. You may not have realized the Missouri Tigers played their spring game, their annual black and gold game on Saturday. And it was basically a two-hand touch game. It was a two-hand touch football game. Was no tackling at all in this game. Look, I get it. You want to keep players healthy. You don't want anybody to get hurt in the spring game. You want to protect certain players too in this game. Of course, you can protect quarterback Brady Cook, but guys like Luther Burden and players like that as well. Of course, Missouri coming off a tremendous 2023, going 11-2 with a win over Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. And they only had two losses against LSU and Georgia. In the game, the Black defeated the Gold 10-9. We'll give out scores for these spring games, but we all know that's not really important thing. It's how you look. And really, the practice leading up to this is really the most important thing, which Missouri was going to have two more practice after their spring game. So their spring was not over completely. They were going to have a couple more practices. Caleb Flagg got the defensive MVP with one interception, his 7th of the spring. Joshua Manning, he caught a touchdown pass from Brady Cook right before halftime. He got offensive MVP. Brady Cook looked in control. He did throw an interception there in the game, but still looked in control. They were talking a lot during the broadcast how the coaching staff doesn't necessarily want to run him as much because you don't really know what's behind him. And doesn't look like there's a lot behind him, be honest with you. And you do not want him getting hurt. That's why they bring in Drew Pine from Arizona State. A lot of experience in Notre Dame. He didn't really play much last year, so we'll see. I don't really think he could come in and be Brady Cook. Brady Cook has really taken a lot of steps as a quarterback over his time there at Missouri. Of course, they have Luther Burden and Theo Weiss coming back at receiver. That's a big thing. One of the better receiving corps I think we're going to see in the SEC. Three offensive linemen return. They got to shore up the left side of the offensive line. But a big question on offense. Who is going to replace Cody Schrader? Also met running back last year, led the SEC with 1,627 yards, 14 touchdowns. Now, they bring in a couple transfers. Looks like from the spring game, these are the two guys we're going to see come the fall. Nate Noel from Appalachian State, where he ran for 834 yards and 5 touchdowns last year. And then Georgia State transfer running back Marcus Carroll, who ran for 1,350 yards, which was second in the Sun Belt. He also had 13 touchdowns. So you have two running backs you can turn to here. So, yes, you may not have one individually break out. You may. We'll see if one can stand out more than the other. But you look like you have a two-headed monster at running backs. That's big there. I mean, it's going to be hard to fill the shoes of Cody Schrader. But still, offensively, Missouri should be really good once again. We're not really going to go through the Missouri schedule here. That's something we'll do more in the summer as we preview and get ready as the season is getting closer, especially after we get out of SEC media days with some of these teams. But still, this is a team that thinks, hey, look, everybody's talking about Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss. LSU's probably next in that list of teams make playoffs. Look, offensively, they've got skill position players. We'll see how the year lands for this Missouri team, but they have chances. I think Missouri has a chance to be a dark horse team with what they have offensively come back. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them getting the 12th in playoff, but still, this is a team to not overlook, I think, in the SEC. They will be replacing Blake Baker, who left for LSU to be the defensive coordinator. Eli Drinkwitz just said overall on the defense, they will run with a 4-2-5 alignment. They're sticking with what they were doing with Baker there at defense. And they have some players coming back, defensive end or on the defense line. Just reading some articles, they're going to play more of what Missouri is calling the Joker role. Cotton Bowl MVP Johnny Walker. They have a couple linebackers, Chuck Hicks and Tristan Newsome, coming back. Then the secondary, Drayden Norwood seems to be the top cornerback, but they have to replace some other guys that left to go to the NFL. Look out for Clemson transfer Toronto Pride, who got an interception. That interception I'm talking about from Brady Cook, he was the one to pick it off. So Missouri finishes up or get close to finishing up spring. As I said, they're going to do two more practices. They may have already done one by the time you hear this podcast, but Missouri Tigers, that's what to look out for. And spring games are coming up. We're going to be ramping that up here in the next couple weeks. April 6th is going to be a busy day of spring games. Auburn will play their spring game, but there's a big number of SEC teams and notable college football teams that will be playing spring games that day. So April is going to be packed. So you can expect some spring previews, spring recaps coming up here on the show with these teams. Clemson, this is also some news that came out on Tuesday, suing the ACC basically due to their grant rights fee. They are joining FSU. FSU is also has put a suit out there on the ACC. Obviously, FSU and Clemson want to get out of the conference. And right now, particularly on the football side of things, these are your two biggest brands. I know from a basketball standpoint, obviously North Carolina and Duke, they're there as well. Is Miami much of a brand? I don't know. But right now, your two biggest brands, Florida State and Clemson, and probably your best two programs anyways, are looking to get out of the conference. Obviously, they're looking at all the money that's going to be brought in from the SEC and the Big Ten. When it comes to playoff money, they want a piece of that pie. And the thing is, you're stuck in this grant of rights fee with the ACC for the next 12 years. Just reading the article by David Hale over at ESPN, Clemson feels like the financial penalty is unreasonable and the grant of rights unfairly restricts Clemson's rights to maximize its brand, which, like I said, wanting to leave the ACC. So, well said as goes. Look, you can't. don't know. Where do these two teams go? Because would the SEC want them? Obviously, from geography, that makes the most sense. But, I mean, SEC already in Florida with the Gators, and you already got South Carolina with the Gamecocks. I mean, would these brands add? I think they would, but also the Big Ten could look at it as getting into the Southeast. So if either one of those wanted these two teams, I mean, going to the Big 12's not going to be a moving up. I think you're pretty much in the same as a lateral move. So you would want to get into the SEC or the Big Ten. But I just wonder, would those two conferences want them? But we'll see. Everything is still changing as we speak when it comes to college athletics. Now, as we talked about there on the top with my conversation with Tony Sakalis, the Auburn stuff, basketball. Look, we're a football podcast, college football. That's what we usually talk here. But, look, it's March. It's March Madness. I'll just say this real quickly. And actually, you can hear me talk about this more over on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. Go check it out. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, all your podcast platforms. It's on Facebook and all that other stuff, too, as well. I think Auburn should have been a 3 seed. It should have been a 4 seed. What they did winning the SEC conference tournament over this past weekend, they were tied for second place in the SEC. They're very impressive. And I just look at, too, if Kentucky – and before people yell at me, because I know this is over the internet, so I may have some people yelling at me right now. I know Kentucky beat Auburn. But at the same time, the two teams were tied for second in the SEC, finished behind Tennessee, among with Alabama, too, as well. But Kentucky loses their first game in the tournament. This is Alabama. But they get a higher seed than Auburn. Auburn wins the conference tournament. All it tells me is this. The committee that was doing all this stuff, they do not watch these tournaments, the conference tournament. So we'll see. It's going to be fun. Auburn plays on Friday. Alabama, too, as well. The Auburn and Alabama women are in the tournament, too, as well. So anyways, that's kind of all my thoughts on that with Auburn basketball. We're not going to go too far into it, but I do believe they should be a 3 seed and not a 4. And real quickly before I get out of here, I had some recent comments over on the YouTube channel, Philip Jordan Sports YouTube, which the YouTube channel may be getting a change soon. Just probably going to go from Philip Jordan Sports, Philip Jordan Football, nothing drastic, just something like that. But I have some comments to read for you guys that have been put on there here recently. Back, you remember when I had Dan Peck from ESPN 106.7? I had this comment when we talked all things Auburn spring football. Eddie at Eddie James 7201 said Thorne was bad, worst one in the SEC, so anyone would be better. Me and Dan were talking about the quarterback situation there at Auburn, and there he was responding to that. You remember back also I had Jay Stevens on. We was talking Ohio State off season, and at Frank Klutz 9787 had this to say. And I'm going to let y'all guys know this. I pull these things up. I have not read these comments before I read them back to you. So, look, sometimes we know how they're worded. We have to work through them sometimes getting through. This is going to be one of them. Howard at Kansas State can't fairly be compared to McCord in Ohio State. Why? The talent Howard will have at Ohio State is what makes him the upgrade over McCord. His legs are the difference with the help he will have around him. The combination of the upgrades surrounding him over Kansas State. A huge upgrade in my mind, especially with Chip Kelly. It will be scary with his 100% attention to this offensive coordinator position. And then we had a comment on last week's conversation with Taylor Jones, another Auburn spring conversation. At Michelle B. 2165 said this, I feel like Auburn has to work Jeremiah Cobb in more. He is generational, in my opinion. I'd also like to see Sean Jackson more in short yardage situations. He's just not the kind of running back you want to have. Bring down squared up. So that's just a few comments. And as always, check us out on YouTube. I really appreciate it. Of course, we're on the show will go on Facebook. The interview will go as well. So check us out on YouTube. Go check it out. I want to start not putting – I've honestly – and this is why I'm going to close the show off. I have really realized that when I put the full show up, the views are not as good. Let's just be honest. But put the individual interviews up. They do well. And I'm going to start putting individual segments like this one. This will go up as on segment. So you won't go to the YouTube channel and just find the full show. I'm not going to have it on there like that. But what I will do, I'll put these segments up on there. So that's kind of where we're going for now on the YouTube channel. And again, thanks to Tony Sakalis for coming on the show. Appreciate you, anybody checking out and listening to the show. Pay attention to my social media. Got some stuff coming down the pike here pretty soon. Remember, you can follow me on social media at PJordanSEC. Podcasts are available over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. You're on Apple Podcasts. Please follow, rate, and review. Leave a review. I will read it on a future edition of the show. And if you leave just 4 stars, you are just a straight-up hater. You can email me on sportstalkphilipjordan@gmail.com. And you can check out all my Auburn work over at Last Word on College Football. Like I said, Auburn is gearing up for spring. April 6th is when Auburn will play their spring game. Please go check out my latest article now where I looked at the Auburn defense, Auburn's defensive questions. So that article is now up over at Last Word on College Football. And I'll be back next week for some more goodness. May have some Wiregrass High School Football Report podcast episodes coming your way. We've got some new coaches in the Wiregrass. Got to start reaching out. Got to start doing some interviews with these coaches because you never know. Football season will be just around the corner. Anyways, I hope everybody has a great week. Enjoy the madness with all the basketball. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Philip Jordan Show. Subscribe to the audio podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can watch the show over at the Philip Jordan Media YouTube channel. Got a question or topic idea? Email the show at sportstalkphilipjordan@gmail.com. Join us next time for more great football talk.